This episode was recorded on March 30th, 2020 at 11 a.m. Some things might have changed since then. For the most up-to-date information from Kansas Farm Bureau, visit www.kfb.org. Welcome to Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau. I'm Noah Auctioner. COVID-19, or the coronavirus, has no doubt made its way across the state of Kansas and around the country. The peak, as some medical professionals call it, hasn't happened yet in this outbreak. Over the weekend, Governor Laura Kelly issued a stay-at-home order in hopes that it will slow the spread of the virus here in the heartland. Today, I talked with Dr. Robert Mosier over the phone. He is the Dean of the University of Kansas School of Medicine at Salina and former Secretary of Health under Governor Sam Brownback. He also practiced medicine in my hometown of Tribune at Greeley County Health Services. It is easy to say he is one of the most experienced people in the state when it comes to rural medicine. Dr. Mosier talked about what COVID-19 is and why we should take these precautions seriously to protect rural healthcare systems across the state. Take a listen. All right, today I'm here with Dr. Robert Mosier. He's the Dean of KU Med in Salina, and he has worked a lot in rural healthcare. In fact, he was a family physician in my hometown in Tribune for a number of years, and then the Secretary of Health under Governor Sam Brownback. So, Dr. Mosier, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
You're welcome, though. Glad to be able to participate.
We're here today to talk about mainly what COVID-19 is, first of all, and kind of the effect it's going to have on rural health systems across the state of Kansas. So, Dr. Mosier, could you just kind of first bring us by what is COVID-19 and what are you seeing as kind of what this virus is?
Sure. Well, COVID-19 is basically the name of the disease that you have if you've contracted a new novel coronavirus infection. And just in the fact that it's a novel infection means that this is something that no one's been exposed to before. So as a population, and particularly as individuals, we don't have any immunity built up to this particular organism. And so consequently, it can spread rather quickly through the population unless particular arrangements and precautions are taken to try to mitigate that. So as you know, many communities, as this has started to break out, have gone to stay-at-home type isolation recommendations. And in fact, just this last week, Governor Kelly made it a statewide stay-at-home, which I think was really great and important to happen, because we are seeing disease outbreaks going beyond just the clusters of where we have known exposure. And now we see where there's obvious community transmission, meaning people that are contracting it are getting it and they have no history of traveling to areas where it's been occurring. They don't know anybody that has the COVID-19, and so they had to have gotten it from somebody else within the community. And it's, you know, droplet transmission, which means coughing, sneezing, you know, you get that on your hand, you touch a doorknob, somebody comes by shortly thereafter, touches that, boom, you've moved it to another person, and their two or three contacts that they may have that day could then just continue to spread it out exponentially. So it is important, I think, to recognize that because this is a new novel infection, there is no immunity and the spread can be quite rapid. And we need to take precautions to try to mitigate that impact on the community and our communities and on our state as a whole.
You mentioned that community spread aspect that they're starting to see really in the Johnson County area. Dr. Lee Norman mentioned that. And do you think that's something we're going to start seeing in some other counties across the state?
I definitely do expect to see that. We haven't had enough testing capability to do surveillance, so we don't know what the prevalence of this is. In other words, people who may have the coronavirus infection without significant symptoms, they might just think it's a seasonal cold or sore throat. And so if they don't suspect they have it, they may not be taking the appropriate precautions. And so they've seen the community spread, obviously, there. And as we saw toward the end of last week. You saw the number of counties that have had a positive case popping and increasing. And most of those, again, have come from folks who didn't necessarily have the travel history or known exposure. So community spread is no doubt occurring. And because of that is why we expect to see the numbers continue to increase. Why it's even more important for people to take all the right precautions, isolate away from groups, washing hands and avoiding touching your face and mouth, ears, and nose, et cetera, and doing all those good personal hygiene actions that should help limit some risk. But because it's hard to believe and see sometimes as something we can't necessarily identify visually, and in some cases, if it hasn't impacted an individual personally and someone they know, it's hard to feel like it's a threat in any immediate terms. And so they can be a little lax in their behavior and precautions. And I think that's exactly what we want to try to avoid. I think someone wise once said, you know, if we don't learn from our history, we tend to repeat our same mistakes. And I think anyone interested just reading any of the activities that occurred with the influenza outbreak in the 1918 era can learn a great deal of the value that comes from the social distancing and all the mitigation precautions that we have for pandemics such as this.
You mentioned that kind of social distancing aspect and how serious we should take that. The governor mentioned in her statement this over the weekend that the reason that part of the reason they're taking this action with the statewide order that we're now in effect with is to protect those really rural areas of the state. What effect do you think this could have on some of the most rural regions of the state, like Greeley County and those areas out in southwest Kansas where healthcare is kind of far and few in between for some of those towns if folks don't take this seriously?
Yeah, it's a great question. No, obviously, we have always had challenges in rural health care with capacity and in some sense, the capability. Very rarely do any of our small critical access hospitals in the state, of which we have 83, I believe, is the latest count, but very few of those have an intensive care unit or keep patients ill enough that would require ventilatory support for breathing. And our frontline healthcare workers are obviously exposed to people coming in for evaluation and assessment. And so they are themselves at risk of contracting. Since many of our communities are understaffed from a healthcare provider standpoint, you can imagine just one or two of your top line providers in a community going down with this illness, and now you're critically underserved and unable to even to provide for the basic day-to-day healthcare needs of the community. So, you know, our biggest fear is that as it gets started with community spread, if precautions aren't taken, we could see quickly how fast a rural community without the capacity could be overrun with cases and challenges in managing those patients locally. And then on top of that, as the outbreaks occur in more populous areas, those hospitals could be overwhelmed to the point where do we send our patients in the rural communities when they need that more advanced care? I know, you know, we've been developing pandemic flu plans for the state of Kansas for a number of years and have a number of mechanisms in place, including regional healthcare coalitions, which they, from a regional standpoint, kind of work together to look at what are the capabilities and resource needs that might be addressed during an outbreak such as this. And I know there's been a lot of meetings going on virtually among a variety of healthcare systems to look at how to best manage within their particular region with a lot of support from some of the larger healthcare systems as well. So a lot of activity going on that many communities may not see evident, but it certainly got the attention of the public health and healthcare communities regarding the concerns about how this could adversely impact our rural healthcare systems, to where just managing the OB patients that come in or the elderly that have congestive heart failure, et cetera, some of those day-to-day events and conditions that our rural providers are managing every day could be even more challenging to take care of in an epidemic.
Certainly. And what would you say to those folks? You know, we see some, I especially see it on social media, there are some people that aren't taking this as serious as the state would like them to do. What would you pass along to those folks about how serious that they should be taking it?
Yeah, it's concerning that, you know, for a variety of reasons, that people have taken that stance. You know, I think it's uninformed, one, in that the worst that I've seen is the attitude that this is just a more severe form of flu. And yet, I think all you have to do is to look at the mortality rates and the fact that mortality rates occur at a much higher number than any regular flu season, and every age group is impacted to a greater degree than any typical flu season. So they may think it's, well, more concern to the elderly, which it certainly is our most susceptible age group. But we've seen mortality rates in younger adults and even all the way down into kids, unfortunately, with this compared to a regular seasonal flu. We do have outstanding healthcare in the U.S., and because of everything that public health stands for, from good sanitation to clean water and air, et cetera, and good health systems with readily accessible care and evaluation, typically, and good medications, et cetera, we expect to have, you know, better success rate in managing this, but that's certainly not going to be the case if we're overwhelmed by numbers. The sheer numbers could adversely impact the ability to deliver the quality of care or to deliver the resources needed. So I hope people start to really take a serious look at what's going on in any of these other communities, and including many rural areas and states that started out with the outbreak, much like Kansas, in our larger metropolitan areas, but are seeing it spread out into smaller communities as well.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Mosher, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Noah. Thank you.
Again, thank you to Dr. Mosher for taking the time to talk with me over the phone today. You can find more information and resources for your operation in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic by visiting www.kfb.org/COVID-19. That is going to do it for us today. Saying so long from Manhattan for Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture, I'm Noah Auctioner. Inside Ag is made possible by the Kansas Farm Bureau members from across the 105 counties of Kansas. To find out how you can become a member, visit www.kfb.org/join.